Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the deep?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we come to look at God's word together this morning, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that in Jesus you came to us. And we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would renew us this morning, that you would turn our hearts towards you afresh, that we would live lives that glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So at this week's session of the Bible course, which a group of us are doing on Tuesday evenings, we were invited, it was the kind of icebreaker question at the beginning, we were invited to share stories of being lost, trapped, or needing rescue. Nearly all of us had a story of some description. And there were a number of stories of being locked in or locked out, or for one person, both at the same time as they were locked out of their house and in their porch. Even as people were telling their stories, I could feel myself inwardly, if not outwardly, move to the edge of my seat as I waited to hear what happened, and then feeling relief at the moment that freedom came. And that was despite the fact that I knew the ending would be okay. Everyone had lived to tell the tale. I suspect in one way or another, all of us can relate to the feeling of relief when a rescuer arrives. Whether that's the person who arrives with the key, or for me, this happens quite frequently, the person that takes something off of me when I'm carrying too much and I'm just about to drop it all. In the supermarket, the person that throws a basket at me when I've gone in for one item and got 20 and can't carry them anymore. I think we can all relate to that feeling of relief when a rescuer arrives. When I'm stuck and at the end of my own abilities, I'm glad to see someone who can help. When I can't make the tap stop running, I'm glad when the plumber arrives. When I can't find something at church, I'm glad of the arrival of someone who knows where what I'm looking for is. In our reading from Romans 10 this morning, and do follow along, it's page 1137 in the Bibles. In our reading from Romans 10, the Apostle Paul quotes the prophet Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's verse 15. Why is it that the feet in particular are beautiful? They're beautiful because by the time you can see someone's feet, they're near to you. So for a while, I think Richard had this experience this morning when he was checking to see if I was on my way up the hill. My head would have been bobbing in the distance. By the time he could see my feet, I was near. Going back to some of the examples of being rescued, we were just thinking about. We might know someone is on their way with the key, or the plumber is coming on Wednesday. Help is coming. But if you're anything like me, things feel much better when we can see the person approaching, or hear the car pull up outside, or the key in the lock. Help is no longer on its way. Help is here. This morning, we are finishing our short sermon series on our new mission statement, sharing the love of Christ. We've thought about how Christ matters. Sharing love without Christ is like giving people cut flowers when what we have to give them is a beautiful plant. We know what love is by looking to the cross of Christ. And we thought last week about how love matters. Sharing Christ without love is meaningless and hypocritical because the heart of the Christian faith is that while we were still sinners, Christ, out of love for us, died for us. We were thinking last week about how the love of God is unconditional and everlasting, how it's not a feeling or even a standard that we meet or fall short of, but rather transforming love, which reaches into humanity's brokenness and darkness. And because the love of Christ is love that comes to anyone and everyone, sharing matters, which is what we're going to be thinking about this morning. Whilst sharing comes first in our mission statement, sharing the love of Christ, there's a reason that it's last in this short sermon series. Without the love of Christ, the church wouldn't exist and there'd be nothing to share. But more than that, the love of Christ is not just what we share, it's the why, the reason we share our faith, and also the how, the means by which we share our faith. If I have one aim for us this morning, it is that we would know the goodness of God in a fresh way, that our hearts would be captured afresh, or perhaps for the first time, by just how good the good news of Jesus Christ is. The rescuer has come. Help is here. My experience is that talks or sermons on sharing our faith leave a small number of people energized, and a greater number of people feeling anxious, guilt-ridden, or inadequate. The starting point, and indeed the ending point in that situation, is the task, the instruction to share. Yet that is not where our reading today starts. Instead, it starts with relationship, with the message. Israel has made following the law the end goal, when actually Christ is the end of the law. The law exists to point to Christ. That's verse 4. The law is a way of responding to Christ, but it is not the means of salvation. Salvation has always been through faith in Christ, who rescues all who come under his rule. To make this point, Paul quotes a number of passages from the Old Testament. And the situation here is a bit like when someone uses your own words against you, the things that you've said as evidence to make their point. Salvation has always been through faith, not works. The following of the law is about surrender to Christ, through whom salvation comes. They might like salvation to come through adherence to the law, but the reality is the word of Christ is in their mouths and in their hearts. Verses 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The good news of the gospel, the goodness of God, is that Christ is the rescuer we all need. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Christ is the rescuer we all need. We all need a rescuer. And he's the rescuer in whom anyone can call. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We all need a rescuer. And help is here. Salvation has come. The Christian faith is not about us getting to God. It's about God coming among us. I don't know about you, but if I were to open a book and find the only words in the book were, "and they live happily ever after," I'd be disappointed. That's not a good story. A good story is the overcoming of failure or the challenging of injustice or the triumph of good over evil by the least likely character. If I were to invite you to think of your favourite film, maybe do that if you'd like to, the themes of forgiveness, redemption and transformation would likely be somewhere in the storyline. I'd like to suggest we tell these stories because they resonate with our story, with humanity's story. Our lives are full of joy and heartache, love and loss, hope and disappointment, fear and failure, victory and courage. And they're good stories because they point to the very best story. A story that's true. The true story of a rescuer, where in surrender we are saved. All that's needed from us is recognizing our need of Jesus, our need of a saviour, and choosing to live with Jesus as Lord of our lives. Sometimes I hear the gospel summarized as Jesus dying for our sins. And Jesus did die for our sins. But the gospel, the good news, the goodness of God, the best story is more than this. It's more than just a transaction. Sometimes I hear the gospel summarized as Jesus loving us. And love is absolutely at the heart of the gospel. But the goodness of God, the best story ever, is more than this. It's more than just something that makes us feel better, a therapeutic gospel, if you like. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is a true and beautiful story for all people because it's transformational. Out of love for us, Jesus died for our sins. But we're not just saved from something, we're saved to something. We're saved to life and freedom. Life and freedom that comes from having a new identity in Christ, from belonging to the loving family of Christ. We don't have to decide who we are. In fact, we don't get to decide who we are. And others don't get to decide who we are either. Only God gives us our identity. And our identity is as beloved, known, precious children of God. Anyone can receive Christ as their Lord and Saviour, but they can only do this if they've heard the good news of the gospel. And they will only hear if someone shares the gospel with them. That's verse 14. Which means people must be sent to preach the gospel. When we surrender our hearts and our lives to Jesus, we are called to be all for Jesus. He was all for us, and we're called to be all for him. And when we're all for Jesus, I don't think we'll be able to stop ourselves sharing the transforming love of Christ. When we surrender our all to Jesus, we'll live all for him. When we surrender our all to Jesus, we are sent by him. So as we seek to share the love of Christ as a church, I want to encourage us all to give ourselves more fully to the Lord. Of course, we want to see new people join the family of Christ. Of course, we want to share Jesus with people. But we will do this best, not when this comes from a place of fear, when we feel we should be telling other people, when we should be doing something about this, when we're anxious about rotas or money or the headlines in the newspapers about decline in the Church of England. We will best share Jesus with people, not when that's our starting point, but when our starting point is the goodness of God. For then we will minister not in our own strength, but out of God's abundance. If God is for us, who can be against us? So the what of this sermon is that sharing our faith matters. The why is because it's the best news ever. And if you're still not convinced, please talk to me some more. I want to tell you why I think it is truly the most beautiful story that we're all invited to be part of. So that's the why, because it's the best news ever. We all need a rescuer, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The how: invest in your relationship with Jesus. Worship weekly. Join a connect group. When we give ourselves to Jesus, he'll give us what we need to be courageous witnesses for him. Because perfect love casts out fear. Often we approach sharing with the task at the front of their minds. And the task is important. But the task will happen when we invest in the relationship, and somehow we'll be so full of Jesus, it will just flow out of us. Perfect love casts out fear. Amen.